Time to take a look at fishing in the great outdoors with Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin, a professional fisherman and guide. He's also an outdoor photographer, columnist, and co-host of a Madison-based radio show, Outdoors Horizons. He's got a great website as well, and it's GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, and it's GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. Outdoors.com. Gary Engberg, Outdoors.com. Gary, you know how to spell E-N-G-B-E-R-G, and then Outdoors.com. Gary, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Larry. Pleasure to be here.
You've got some great stuff on your website, by the way.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time. It's really come a long way. And matter of fact, I'm in the process of changing my homepage template. And things have just gone real well. We put a lot of video on it, a lot of stories, a lot of links. There's something on there for everyone. It's just not fishing. You have hunting, anything in the outdoors. I have a lot of eagle material because I'm one of the counters for the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, so I'm out there on Sundays all winter counting eagles in the roost sites. So there's a little bit of, there's something on there for everyone. There's a lot of good pictures of a lot of, you know, talking about feeding birds and birds. There's a lot of good photos there, and there's something for everyone.
You noticed any signs of spring out there in your travels this past week or two?
Well, Genoa on the Mississippi River, below the Genoa Dam, has opened up, and they're fishing on boats in the Mississippi River. A week ago, they were pushing boats across the ice to get to open water, which I don't recommend for people, especially if you get a little bit older. But the water's open, and they're fishing there. La Crosse is still frozen up. Prairie du Sac and Wisconsin Dells are also open now, totally free of ice. And the thing about the Wisconsin River is you don't have the huge ice flows like you do on the Mississippi, because I know people put holes in their boats last week. So I would kind of maybe wait a little while. But it's coming soon. You know, you're going to – usually on the Wisconsin River, the biggest fish are caught usually the last week of February and the first week of March. And you got to remember that the Wisconsin River is – open year-round for walleyes and saugers.
So, yeah, so you can fish all 12 months of the year.
If you want to get out there, you can fish. Yeah, it's been a good winter, too.
There, let's talk a little bit about the sturgeon population here in Wisconsin. We've got an outstanding population of sturgeon. There was some spearing just completed here recently.
It is the best freshwater sturgeon fishery in the United States. I mean, the eggs from a lot of the fish here go to different places all over the country where they're trying to reintroduce sturgeon. They're monitored very heavily. They're monitored in the spring. When they do lay their eggs and spawn, there's a program called Sturgeon Watch. If anyone would be interested, they need people to watch a lot of the spawning areas. Most of them are along the Wolf River to make sure that no one, you know, would spear them or do anything illegal. And that's like right now, the sturgeon season possibly. It opened the 14th on Valentine's Day last Saturday. Sturgeon season ideally can go 16 days. But there's harvest caps or triggers. When you reach 90% of the harvest cap, the season will close at 12:30 the next day. The spearing season is open from 6:30 in the morning to 12:30, and you have to have your fish registered by 1:30 of that day. But they do take a lot of samples on the fish. They take heads to do samples with. They take different fins. There's so much. The DNR does a wonderful job protecting this valuable resource, and there's, I mean, when you see the size of these fish, and knowing that the fish they're catching now, the bigger fish over 100 pounds, are from 1952 fish. You know, these fish are at least 50 years old. Some of these fish can grow up to 100 years. It can be 100 years old, 80 years old. There was a woman up on Lake Poygan on Sunday. She got a little shy 81-inch sturgeon that weighed 168 pounds. The record was in 204, is 188.
Well, and the DNR crew netting sturgeon on Lake Butamore last fall captured and tagged and then released a 230-pounder.
Yeah, those fish, I mean, and a fish like that is probably over 100 years old, is the amazing thing. And like I said, they have a spearing season in Winnebago, and it's more or less a very festive atmosphere. It's like you're going to a tailgate party or the opening of the way deer season used to be in the old days when, you know, you used to go up north. But people are out there having a good time. I think they sold almost 10,000 permits, which when you have to apply, you know, I think last fall well in advance. And the opening day, the shack total was a little under 7,000 shacks on Lake Winnebago and the Upper Lakes.
It's an amazing thing. But most of us, most of us don't get a chance to fish for sturgeon or spear sturgeon.
No, but one of the few places. I mean, actually, Lake Wisconsin and the Wisconsin River below the Prairie Dam and Sauk Prairie are one of the few places where there's – and then also you can go up to Marinette. There's only a few places where there's a hook and line season, and that's usually in the fall, minimum of 60 inches on the fish, and it's October, and you only run for – I think it's – they cut it down to 2 weeks now.
Amazing. Gary Engberg, our guest today from Mesa Maney, a professional fisherman and guide, outdoors photographer, columnist, and co-host of a Madison-based radio show, Outdoors Horizons, with us today to answer your questions. Give us a call as we talk fishing and the outdoors with him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, and we'll be happy to take your questions either by telephone or through the email.
One thing, Larry, that just happened is yesterday they reached the harvest cap for juvenile females on the Upper Lake, so today at 12:30, spearing on the Upper Lake closes. So the only thing will be open will be the big lake, Lake Winnebago, and that'll be open probably 2-3 more days, even though it could go to March 1st. You know, they reach those harvest caps pretty early.
Now, this is kind of the time of the year when not a lot of fishing going on. There's a lot of ice fishing going on.
I was out yesterday.
Now what were you fishing for yesterday?
Actually, we were filming a video for a future TV show, and we were fishing bluegills, and we ended up catching some largemouth bass, which we didn't intend to, but we caught some real nice bluegills. Last year, there was a fantastic bluegill bite on Lake Mendota in the Madison area where people were catching a lot of 9- and 10-inch bluegills, but they really pounded them heavy. And this year, I think they took too many fish, and there's not the quality bluegills like there were last year. Crystal Lake in the area out by Roxbury has been a good lake this year. A lot of the backwaters on the Wisconsin and Mississippi River have been good, but there's been Lake Monona has
been
good.
The Triangle,
you know, and the fish aren't, you know, you have to sort through them to get, you know, a few for a meal, but you don't have to keep your 25 every time to have a good time. And I believe if you're freezing fish, you're keeping too many. Eat them while they're fresh. And I'll tell you, I think the week before last, I had bluegills 5 nights a week, and I didn't get tired of them. They're that
no,
good.
No, they are excellent when they're caught at this time of the year. Bill in Bailey's Harbor has a question or comment. Bill, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm really concerned about the bass tournaments and their effect on our smallmouth bass up here in Green Bay. These guys come up here, and they hit these spawning ponds, and I mean, they just really clean them out. They come up as far as Feast Creek and Egg Harbor and then put them in the boat, take them down to Sturgeon Bay, and if they live through that, they're lucky. Then they let them out down there. We don't see them again. I think those things ought to be outlawed. That's my comment. Any hope for that?
I don't know. I think they're cracking down on some of the different tournaments in some different areas. And, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, there has to be probably maybe some stricter regulations, especially for spawning smallmouth or largemouth or any fish that are on their spawning beds. And I know that, you know, there's a major smallmouth tournament out of Sturgeon Bay in the early summer. I think it's the end last weekend in May or first weekend in June where they catch some fantastic fish. But like you said, I think, you know, like muskies are protected usually during their spawning period. In Wisconsin, you know, your bass season doesn't open until later than it does in the southern part of the state. But you know, if you have something you're interested in like that, that's what the Conservation Congress is for, and that's why we have spring hearings with the DNR. You know, anyone can put in a regulation or put something up to have people vote on, and if that's how you feel, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah.
Do I ever? Hey, can I ask a question about deer?
Sure.
I think there's a lot fewer deer than DNR does. They're way down up here. I think the turkeys are running them out. We're overrun with wild turkeys, and I'm seeing a lot fewer deer this year than I've seen before.
I hear constantly because I work registering deer and helping the DNR during the deer season, and I hear that from a lot of people. But people got to realize one thing too is you're getting so many more people are moving out in the country and buying a 20, a 40, an 80 acre piece of land, and deer are very, very smart and can adapt to human beings. Where you might not see them on your land, you go two hills over, you know, they're seeing plenty of deer. And I know that the DNR even has pulled back a little bit about some of their, you know, their total counts, and I don't think the deer population was 1.5 or 1.7 like they said this past year. That's another thing you're going to have to talk to people out. But deer should just adapt about anywhere. Matter of fact, the new Costco store out in Verona here, down by Madison, I was in the parking lot one day before deer season, and I saw a 10-point buck walk right alongside the parking lot. You looked across Highway 151, didn't see any cars, and you went across the road. So deer can go anywhere. I mean, we have them right here in Madison and Arboretum. So yeah. They're, I mean, the numbers may be down. We had a real bad winter, but I doubt with turkey would be displacing them because turkeys have a lot harder time when you get deep snow to scratch for food. But you got to remember, last year we had over 100 inches in a lot of places. It took a tremendous toll on deer, tremendous toll on turkeys. I have a lot of friends who are big shed antler hunters. They're out this spring. They found lots of young, dead nubbin bucks over, you know, a 1,000-acre period. So, I mean, the winters have been tough.
They have. Thank you very much, Bill. And Chris in Rockdale, your turn now. Hi, Chris.
Yes, I'd like to know what you do with a sturgeon after you spear. Do you eat the meat or use the eggs? Or
yeah, most people smoke them. You know, you can fix them you know, a lot of different ways, but smoking is probably the most prevalent way that I know. And then also, like you said, the caviar, the eggs are what a lot of people are really after. And I'm not a caviar eater myself, but a lot of people, you know, you'll get out of a big fish, you know, you can get 20, 30 pounds of eggs.
Mm-hmm. And there are people, if I'm not mistaken, people right there on the ice who will purchase that caviar from you right there.
During our hook on line season we have on the Wisconsin River, we have a lot of ethnic people come up from the Milwaukee and Chicago area. They know about sturgeon, and they really are into, you know, I mean, it seems like Middle European people have been around the fish for a long time, and they're more used to eating them and the caviar than we are here in the United States.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Gary Engberg, our guest of Mazamania, Wisconsin, professional fisherman and guide, talking fishing in the great outdoors here on the Ideas Network. We're talking fishing and the outdoors today with Gary Engberg of Mazamania, Wisconsin. Gary, professional fisherman and guide, he's an outdoor photographer and columnist, hosts a Madison-based radio show. And Gary, you've got another show going too, haven't you?
Yeah, I have a show that goes under Gary Engberg Outdoors that's playing now in Beaver Dam, Watertown, and Fond du Lac, and we're expanding. I think we're going to be soon in Rockport, Rockford, and some of the areas of around Chicago.
Oh, great. Well, I tell you what, this email from the person who was wondering about what you would recommend as a birthday gift for an 11-year-old boy who likes to fish, a good magazine or some other appropriate gift?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I just don't know if you're going to get the attention of an 11-year-old with, you know, with a magazine. If he likes to read, I would recommend In Fisherman magazine. Get him a subscription. They're, you know, not very pricey, probably in the $15 range. And I think you get 8 issues a year, constantly full of good material on any type of species of fish. A lot of good CDs and tapes you can find out there. He probably has, I mean, a fisherman never has too much equipment. That's like a musky fisherman, Larry, you know, never has too many lures.
No.
But instead, maybe equipment. I would get him something where maybe he could learn some more, you know, different tactics, techniques. And I would recommend anything that In Fisherman. And if you would just do a Google search on InFisherman.com, you'd come up with a lot of good ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And there'd be, within In Fisherman, you'd find videos and other suggestions, too, for sure. Well, David and Hayward's up, so let's go to David. Hi, David.
Hi. How are you, Larry?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you very much for listening to me. I'd like to, first of all, I heard that Gary Engberg was going to be on your show, and so I wanted to thank him so very, very much.
I know this guy from Hayward.
Over the years with Fishing Has No Boundaries.
Okay.
If this is the David, I think it is. David, this is David Kuhn from Hayward. David was one of the initial people who organized the Fishing Has No Boundaries for physically challenged, disabled people in the Madison and Hayward area. He's starting one now, I think, in Milwaukee, LaPorte, Indiana. And David had a mishap himself a few years ago and is in a wheelchair, but he's out there and he's, you know, helped me do some things. We've done some fishing together, and he's really doing a lot of things to promote fishing and getting people who don't normally have that chance.
Thanks, Gary. Actually, this last weekend, Gary and I were together in two different locations, one in Milwaukee at the Muskie Show, and I was lucky enough to meet a fellow who hasn't been able to fish since he had a stroke 6 years ago. And, of course, we got him signed up, and he's going to be fishing with us in Milwaukee, I guarantee it, and hopefully Madison, too.
And you got a chance to see those big sturgeon.
That's right, the big sturgeons. And while we were there, Gary and I got to meet this young boy. His name is Kevin Coleman. He and his mother were there watching and looking at the big sturgeons, and his godfather actually is one of the owners of Wentz, which hosted the weigh-in for the sturgeons, and there's a landing right there where everyone drives on and off the lake. And this young man is 8 years old, and he's actually had the opportunity to fish for the last 3 years at the Fond du Lac and Oshkosh Fishing Has No Boundaries events.
Thanks for the call, David. But I tell you, you should direct people to go to the website and look at Fishing Has No Boundary. They'll have in July. They have an event here on the Lake Mendota in Madison. They have them all over the state, all over the country. It gives a lot of people. They have adaptive reels for people that may have trouble with the normal reel. They do a great job getting people on the water, and David's been a main part of that.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Thank you very much for calling. Ken in Milwaukee will turn to you next. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have a question for Gary about sturgeon spearing. I've been interested in maybe taking my kids to do that one of these years, but it looks to me like there's an awful lot of paraphernalia that goes along with it.
Not
just taking a rod and a line and setting them up. It looks like you got to be pretty prepared, and it looks kind of pricey too. I was wondering what kind of investment would be needed for that.
Yeah, well, it's not terribly pricey. The main thing that a person needs is some type of ice shelter or ice shanty. A lot of people have them out there where they'll even have them on wheels so they can pull them on and off, in versus having them permanently on the ice. The thing is, your hole inside of your ice can't be anything more than 48 inches square. But your main investment is basically going to be to build yourself some type of shack or shanty, because you need complete dark so you can see those sturgeon. The decoys that are used for spearing, they're not very expensive. The spears aren't that expensive. So it's not that costly. And if you're handy yourself, you can put together an ice shack and just looking around and finding scrap wood and lumber, and you can put together a decent shack. After that, like Lake Winnebago, you don't need electronics like you would need for normal fishing. Lake Winnebago, the only place where you can spear in the state, is only 19 feet deep at its deepest, and when you have a closed, dark, enclosed shelter like that, and the only light you have is the water through your hole, those sturgeon really stand out. So it's not that terribly expensive. The thing you have to remember, though, is that you have to buy the licenses well in advance. You check with the DNR for the date on that, and then it's pretty much located, that Winnebago area. And, Lake Winnebago, 10 miles, wide, 30 miles long, all the way from Fond du Lac up to Menasha and Appleton. Big body of water. And this year, the water got a little bit, we had some warmer weather, so the water got a little bit dirty and cloudy. So last year, the good bite on Lake Winnebago, or the good spear, was on the southern part of the lake. This year, they've had to go way up north on the east side, up by Stockbridge, because the main thing you want is clean waters for visibility. But as far as a cost investment, it's not that much. I'm sure if you contact the DNR, Ron Brook, it's Bruck, he's a sturgeon specialist. He'd be the person to contact, and they could put you in the right direction. They might even have some type of classes or some type of information where you could learn some more on it. But if you have any trouble, contact me, and I'll steer you in the right direction.
Sure. Is there any such thing as a guide for that?
Yeah, there are. But the thing is, there's quite a few, and there's people out there even that'll cut holes for you. I don't know what they charge, $5 or something, and they'll cut your holes for you in case you had a portable shelter that you're going to move around, so you would have different holes. But anywhere, if you look under Winnebago, look under Winnebago Fishing or Winnebago Sturgeon, and they'll steer you, because there are people that do guide. And that would be a very good idea initially, when you're trying to get started in the sport.
Sure.
Right.
Also, I was curious, one more thing about you talk about the caviar. I know that's like a process thing. Can you process the caviar, the roe yourself into caviar?
Yeah, the people that I know just really keep rinsing it and rinsing it like in a colander, in cold water, and that's all that they really do.
I see.
Yep.
They don't add anything. I mean, I know that people say caviar is very salty. I'm not a caviar person, but you don't have to add any additives to it.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I was kind of surprised Steve Bourne hasn't called us yet to talk with us, because the Southern Wisconsin chapter of Trout Unlimited is sponsoring a show of Warren Miller's film, Drift. It's on Wednesday, March 4th, if I'm not mistaken, at the Orpheum Theater. And the proceeds go to a fund used for permanent easements on Wisconsin trout streams. That's a great
organization. And just in our area too. We had a trout kill a couple years ago in the Black Earth Creek, but I mean you have some quality trout streams in Black Earth and Mount Vernon, and if you go out to the Coulee Country out in southwest Wisconsin, there's unlimited in Vernon, Crawford County. There's so many great trout streams in Wisconsin that people don't take advantage. And then you have that early, that barbless catch and release season, is coming up too, and there's not too many. I've seen a lot of streams recently, and most of them are pretty clear. You got a little bit of muddying up, with the runoff we had with that warmer weather, but they'll be clear up, and it's a good time to get on the water. You get a nice day with the sun. If the sun's out, it's 30 degrees. Get out there.
Yeah, Mary in Wisconsin Rapids, on to you now. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Yes, on a side note, when I heard the word shanties, I'd like to bring up a concern for all those fishermen out there, and people on the lakes. I'm on Lake Wazicha. And just to clean up after themselves, I want them to enjoy the lakes. And however, I spend a lot of time cleaning them up, and so do other people. So if they could pick up after themselves and let other shanty people have them clean up, it would be very appreciated.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I live on the lower Wisconsin River, and I constantly on my own shoreline am picking stuff up and, getting refuse. And people are sometimes, what people have to realize is there's not always going to be garbage cans. So bring yourself, a couple bags and take your refuse with you. And that's another thing. I mean, I fish Lake Winnebago a lot, and you'll find all kinds of stuff after the ice goes out there. And, that's part of, you're enjoying the resource, you're enjoying the fishing, you're enjoying the beauty, don't litter in it. And that's a big issue. And I appreciate the call.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mary. Very good point. Scott in New Glarus, on to you now. Hi, Scott.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering about sturgeon spearing. I can understand the thrill and the excitement of setting up and viewing the sturgeon, but I wonder if you could explain to me why someone would relish killing a 100-year-old sturgeon or even a 50-year-old one, and what they wind up doing with it.
Well, the fish, I mean, the people really do cherish the fish, and they are utilized. It's just a matter of most fishing that I do is as far as muskie and all bass fishing, and 90% of our walleye fishing is all catch and release. We release most of our fish, and muskies and bass for sure, because those aren't fish that you necessarily want to eat anyway. It's just a matter of, what you feel is right and what you don't. And I mean, I can see anyone's point with a 100-year-old fish, and the excitement maybe isn't worth 10 minutes of excitement for how long that fish has lived. And I can see your point.
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Scott. We had another suggestion for the birthday gift for the 11-year-old. Somebody called in, and it was a book. And the book is titled The Barefoot Fisherman, A Fishing Book for Kids. And it's written by Paul Amdahl, A-M-D-A-H-L. It's in paperback. So
that sounds good, too.
Sounds like a good...
I mean, and the other thing, too, is in Fisherman, but the Lindners, who initially, Al Lindner and Ron Lindner, who started in Fisherman, sold off probably 7-8 years ago, and they have their own company called Lindner's Angling Edge, and that's L-I-N-D-N-E-R, Angling Edge. Do a Google on that, and they have a lot of very good instructional material.
Don in La Crosse, we're on to you now. Hi, Don.
How you doing, Larry? I have a question about sturgeon.
Okay.
I live in La Crosse, and I fish in Pool 7, and I'm 57. I fished that pool most of my life, And I can probably count maybe in my lifetime one sturgeon that I caught accidentally. I know we're not talking about the same type of sturgeon.
You're talking about sand sturgeon you're going to have there on the Mississippi or even in the Wisconsin River, which there is a there the size of one on them is a lot smaller, and that's, I would imagine, the one you caught.
Well, I we're allowed 10, and yeah. My question to you is how in the world do you catch them on hook and line?
How? Well, the best way, and the way that the anglers fish in the area that I'm familiar with is usually a 1 or 2 odd hook, and then they're usually trying to find a transition area between a hard bottom and a soft bottom, and you know, you're talking about 10 to 15 feet of water.
They'll use a lot on the dam. I'm talking 50 to 60 feet of water.
Well, the fish are you're not going to get that many of them that deep, and you're going to get them more off when they go up, when they come up shallower to do their feeding. And you know, sturgeon have barbels, which are those little things you have hanging down from their mouth. They really don't eat too much as far as the fish. Most of their fish is filtered through their system, and it's microscopic. But when they go up on a feeding, usually it's in shallower water. But people, they're going to be using anywhere from 2 to 6 ounces of weight, probably a 2 to 3 foot lead to a 1 or 2 odd hook. And I know it's very easy for a guy to put anywhere from 6 to 12 night crawlers, you know, on their hook at one time. And they have very sensitive smell, and that's how they usually catch them.
Interesting.
And have heavy tackle. I mean, you better, you know, yeah. When you're talking about a sturgeon has to be 60 inches on hook and line to be legal, so that fish is going to go, could go anywhere from 40 to 60 pounds. And, you know, you can catch 70, 80 inch, 100 pound fish. So I would recommend, you know, 50 to 80 pound, probably go with one of the braided lines or a Power Pro or something like that.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Janice in Whitefish Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I heard you mention Ron Brook, who is a sturgeon specialist. Well, there is a movie at the IMAX Theater at the museum in Milwaukee. It'll be there till March 19th, called Great Lakes. Tell us about how the Great Lakes are formed and about the natural things that are there. But it also tells a lot about Ron Brook and how he saved the sturgeon.
If you go to the Ron and the DNR's website, they do have a couple, and I think they do mention what's going on in Milwaukee, and there are a couple of videos out. They've done a whole magazine because they go back with the sturgeon season in Wisconsin has been going on for well over 100 years,
right.
And this is all documented. And like you said, Ron has done tremendous things. I just had an email from him the other night, and he's mainly responsible for the resurgence or continuing to make the waters we have,
right.
You know,
well,
good.
People want to see his story and see how he does it.
It's at the IMAX.
Go to the IMAX in Milwaukee, and the shows are listed on the theater page, a movie page, in the journal.
Thanks.
Or on the internet. You can look it up, and it's a very good movie.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email at talk@WPR.org. The Madison Fishing Expo, one of the nice things about winter, I think, are the fishing expos. There was just one in
well, we had the Muskie Show with Justin
Milwaukee.
Muskie Show in Milwaukee. But this is a time, I mean, when you got cabin fever to begin with, you probably haven't been out too much. But it also was a great chance because the people coming to the Madison Expo, you know, you have some of the best people there are in the industry, and these people are going through now. The old slideshows are long gone. Everything now is a PowerPoint presentation, and you can learn so much from these people. They're very approachable. You know, you can get a chance probably to ask questions, talk to them one-on-one. But I know that a couple of guys in our association, Lee Talkin, who's very good on muskies, will be speaking. Ron Bearfield, who's a great guide in the area, will be speaking. Bob Masekomer, who's had his Simply Fishing show on TV 27 years, will be speaking. I think maybe Joe Booker.
Daryl Christensen.
Daryl Christensen, I know for sure, is going to be there. And Daryl just retired. He's from Montello. He just retired from fishing professional. One of the best jig fishermen there is. Go to these shows because there's always. It's not just beside a consumer show to go and, you know, fill your, you know, your pockets with lures and jigs and buy a bunch of stuff. Go to the, look and see who the speakers are because there's always something you can learn. I learn something at, you know, anytime I go to a show. I mean, no one knows it all.
And that's another nice little gift for that 11-year-old or that 12-year-old. Take them to that show.
Yep, that would be a real good idea, and I will have a booth there, so stop by and say hi.
All right. Dave and Eau Claire, we're on to you. Dave, hello.
Hi. I fish Lake Wissota in Chippewa County, and during the summertime, you see large fish jumping out of the water. And I've had people tell me that they were muskie, and yeah. Other people tell me they're sturgeon.
They're probably sturgeon chasing bugs. I've had the same...
And what would cause them to jump out of the water like that?
They're chasing a hatch, a bug hatch. Because, like I said, they basically don't feed on, like, smaller fish. Basically, they're feeding on microscopic daphnia and various type of insects. But I've been out in Winnebago myself walleye fishing, and, you know, nice and quiet, out early in the morning, and all of a sudden next day you'll have a 6-foot sturgeon porpoise, and you almost jump out of the boat.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it does happen.
It's a bit of a startling experience.
You won't find muskies, you know, on their own, you know, going airborne that much, but it's very common with sturgeon.
All right. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks
very much for calling. I can remember a couple of times on Barker Lake in northern Wisconsin fishing out there on one of those calm, perfectly calm days, and one sturgeon comes out of the water like 3 feet from the boat, and you just about fall right out of the boat. It's noisy. It's noisy and fun. Eric in La Crosse, hello to you.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering about preseason trout fishing in southwest Wisconsin. When does it start? And last year I tried for the first time, and I saw thousands of fish and never caught one of them. Is it better to fish in the morning or in the evening? Or
I would always recommend most fishing early and late is always good, and I don't care what the species is, because that's usually when fish are going to be going shallower and are more active. Low light periods, low periods where you know the sun is just rising or just setting. One of the best times I find ice fishing, and you know, now if I'm fishing for bluegills or even fishing for walleyes, you know, when the sun gets to the top of the trees from then on till dark, and then maybe a half an hour after dark is one of the better seasons. I don't have a trout regulations in front of me right now, but that early season is going to open real soon, and you know, you should be able to, you know, the open season is all catch and release, and it's usually barbless hooks, but there's, like I said, the streams are open in a lot of areas, and it's, you know, there'll be people on streams very soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. And, you know, it's if you're trout interested in
they do make Larry too. They have a special pamphlet, which is totally separate. I have a 209 fishing regulations in front of me, but the trout regulations is totally separate. And any ALS where you have automatic licensing service, you can get a trout regulations, or it'll be online.
And you can go online, like to the Southwest chapter of Trout Unlimited. Their website is SWTU.org, SWTU.org. You'll find a lot of information there and also more information about their programs that are upcoming, too. Kent in Milwaukee, back to you now. Hi, Kent.
I just had one more comment. With my kids, when they were in grade school, to get them interested in fishing, I got them a bass fishing video game, and they just really loved it, and that got them interested in actually going out.
Well, things have changed. I mean, it's not like with what we have now available as far as high-tech things, internet things. I mean, those are whatever will, you know, get the kids interested. And it might not be what it was when I was younger. But one of the worst things to do is to take your young children out walleye fishing, where you might catch one or two fish all day. And, you know, if you're going to take a kid out in the boat, you know, plan on, you know, doing some type of fishing. And it's, don't be species-orientated. Go out there where something's going to be pulling on their line. That's the most important thing. I don't care if it's rough fish, carp, or whatever, just so they get the thrill of having something tug on that line. That's the most important thing.
My 5-year-old Emily has really kind of gotten spoiled, because I've taken her mostly bluegill fishing, and when the bluegills are on the beds, and she has never had to wait longer than about 10 seconds.
But the thing is, when you do take them out on the boat, though, have some other things with you, you know,
in case
it's a slow day, have some other games can play, or show them different things of nature. If you happen to see, like, eagles or birds, identify them and show that. Show them, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, show them small, little fish. I mean, there's a lot of different things you do, but have some other backup plans in case the fish aren't biting.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, she's spoiled, because she catches way more fish than I ever did when I was little.
When they go out there, when you got the good bite, and you know, they can throw out that bobber and it keeps going down, you know, they expect that all the time. So you better come through.
Gary Enberg. Gary, thank you so much for being with us today. What's your website again?
It's www.GaryEngbergOutdoors, and that's engbergoutdoors.com. Send me any messages, questions. I'll be glad to help you any way I can.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Gary will be back and be with us again. Professional fisherman and guide. Take a look at his website. He's got a great website with lots of video and other information. And stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.